Ministries, partners, and viewers.
As we go into these last days, the last of the last days, we're going to have to engage in the supernatural. This message is designed to help you grow up, increasing in the knowledge of God. Now, that's where the enemy doesn't want you. But if you don't have the knowledge of God, you don't have knowledge. It's got to increase you in knowledge because he's going to have bigger tasks for you to perform. He's going to have greater revelation, greater manifestation, greater miracles for you to see. Where am I trying to take you? I'm trying to take you to miracles. Because miracles won't work out of a condemned heart. And what I'm telling you is that enemy had tried to contain miracles. Because miracles are proof that the one you serve is alive. Let's get it so that nobody will deny the God that we serve. Living in the supernatural. Living in the supernatural. All right. I'd like to read this and we'll go from there. Let's start reading at verse 5. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doth he it by the works of the law? Or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scriptures foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations of the earth be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. So God sends us in there with a blessing. Say, I have the blessing.
I have the blessing.
And this blessing is key because it gives us the power, empowers us to get certain things done. And so what we said is that a lot of God's people just been getting saved and really not getting the recompense that God has planned for them to get in their lives. Recompense has to do with repaying or has to do with somebody having to be paid damages for what has been done or what has been suffered, some affliction. And that the enemy has to pay that. We say we're not looking at people because people are not our source. And people are really not the culprit. The main culprit is the devil. Jesus identified that many times. He told in one place the enemy has done this. He told him in another place the thief cometh not for to steal, kill, and destroy. Many times. So we have a higher authority that we take matters to, and that's authority of the government of God. And there's a Supreme Court in heaven, just like there's one in Washington, D.C., in this country. And so we said that the person of the Holy Ghost is now, the ministry of Christ has been duly and completely turned over to him, the person of the Holy Ghost, and that his number one job is to execute vengeance upon all the enemies of God's people, and nothing shall escape him, meaning that he's going to be the one that makes sure justice is done, and that we move the kingdom forward. Because that's the biggest thing we came to do, advance the kingdom of God. And we said also that Jesus, when he left this earth, the latter rain began, which began the day of God's vengeance. And so this is your season of manifestation. So whatever is tampering with your destiny, whatever is trying to stop your career, whatever has been messing with you or tampering with your business or your children, whatever it is, God is commanding vengeance starting now. That those things are going to be moved out of your way. So whatever has been resisting you, God's going to deal with it, and it shall be stopped right now. So this is the essence of it. We read a prayer for you to pray so that you can get the recompense of God moved in your life. You got saved, but that's not all. And recompense, we said, is not just money. But remember, when they came out of Egypt, it came out, Psalm 105, verse 37, he brought them forth also with silver and gold. And there was not one feeble one among their tribes, meaning not one sick person. So I believe that the recompense of God covers also healing your body, healing your mind, taking away all the bitterness out of your system, so forth and so on. Say amen to that.
Amen.
All right, but as we go now, we pass through a word called sanctification. And sanctification is kind of an interesting thing. The Bible talks about that God has given to us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. And now this sanctification is something that God is at work in us. That once we get born again, right away we got separated from the world. But the reality of us being separated from the world has to be continuous in our lives. In other words, it's not just a one-step kind of thing. It's that you continue to get sanctified. And when we say get sanctified, now, wait a minute. Let me share with this on this vengeance and recompense. God is not mad at people. Yoo-hoo. All right. God is not in the business of killing anybody. So if you look at that, you'll see that in Ezekiel chapter 18, he says in verse 23, "Have I any pleasure at all in the wicked should die, that the wicked should die, saith the Lord God, and that he should return from his ways and what? And live." So God has no desire that anybody should die. He's a God of love, a God of life. So sanctification now is key, because that message that I taught on manifesting sons of God and vengeance and recompense was really, I said, is for grown folk. What it means is this message is designed to help you grow up. And do you know, I find that, well, let me just keep going. So sanctification is a part of that, meaning that you're more separate from the world. Even though you're in it, you're still separate from it, more so than you've been before. Are you following what I'm saying? I'm saying you're more in love with Jesus next year than you were last year. Okay? I mean, you and God are becoming one. I mean, you're beginning to think like him, operate like him, speak, so forth and so on. All right, so now what I'm doing is reading this particular part here on living in the supernatural. Look at verse 5. "He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith." As we go into these last days, the last of the last days, praise God, we're going to have to engage in the supernatural. The natural is not going to do it for us. We're going to have to cross that barrier and get on into the supernatural. Now, one of the things about the supernatural or miracles is we've got to get ourselves free from condemnation. And this condemnation is something that the enemy tries to use to keep God's people from growing and from the continual process of growth and sanctification. The greater your growth, or the more you separate from the world, the more you can see the world as it is. The enemy is out to contain us. His battle is a battle of containment. He knows you got saved, but he's trying to keep you from being effective. So in that, he tries to put boundaries, of course, in our lives. Now, the boundaries that are in our lives are not coming from the outside. They're coming from the inside. He talks about renewing our mind. He talks about the spirit of our mind. He talks about that we go from milk to strong meat. These boundaries inside. So what you can do in your life is not a function of what you can do physically. It's a function of what's in your spirit and how you believe and the image that you have of yourself and of God. Let me just try to understand this. Let's go to Colossians, please. Colossians chapter 1. Here's a prayer I pray about every day. And he says in verse 9, "For this cause also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you, and desire that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." This is the Apostle Paul. "That we might walk worthy of the Lord and to all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, and strength with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet or able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. All right. So now, he is talking about here that in verse 10, increasing in the knowledge of God. The knowledge of God. Now, that's where the enemy doesn't want you. Because what you've seen, for the most part, in the earth today, is not a result of the increase in the knowledge of God. It's a knowledge of man. It's where we've gone to school, we've learned through experimentation, so forth and so on, and done some things. And that's fine. That's good. But we need the knowledge of God, that no matter how many degrees somebody has, they need the knowledge of God. The knowledge of God, if somebody's got a disease and the physician says, there's nothing I can do for you. And then all of a sudden you take them to a place of a man or woman who has the knowledge of God. Then they can just pray and lay hands on the sick and they recover. Now that's the knowledge of God. Are you following what I'm saying? I'm saying you got to leave that other place. Understand that is good. But if you don't have the knowledge of God, you don't have knowledge. You don't have the effective knowledge that's going to be needed in these last days so that you can finish the work God's called you to do, but so you can help humanity. Knowledge of God. Now remember what I told you about Babylon. It hates the knowledge of God. It does not want the knowledge of God in here. So what we got to do is come back over to the knowledge of God and have the knowledge of God as a premium in terms of what our desires are. I desire the knowledge of God. That's what I want to know. I want to know the knowledge of God. Got it? Okay. You get knowledge of God and you're superior to anything that's in the earth. Paul says something in 2 Timothy chapter 3. He says, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemous, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of good, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Now, this whole... this whole idea of religion, I think Satan uses it not only to bind people, but to blind people. And if you turn back with me to 2 Kings, in 2 Kings chapter 18, this is an account of when Hezekiah became king. And in this time of his rulership, some interesting things happened. Verse 1. And it came to pass in the third year of Hosea, son of Elah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. 25 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abi, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father did. He removed the high places and broke the images and cut down the groves and break in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it, and he called it Nehushtan. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. All right, now what's happened here? This says in verse 4, he break in pieces the brazen serpent. Now, if you put a reference there, it's Numbers 21, starting in verse 9. God had them in Numbers 21 set up a pole and make a brass serpent and wrap it around that pole. Now, brass is a sign of divine judgment. So the children of Israel were being bitten by snakes because of their disobedience and rebellion. Now God was providing healing. So he had this brass snake to be wrapped on a pole and had it so that they would actually look on that pole. Anyone that looked on that pole with that brass serpent was healed. Got it? All right. This was something that appealed to their senses so that they could lock on and focus themselves on something that was there that they could identify with or something that they could look on and get healed. So they did that and got healed. But then as they traveled through the wilderness, they took the pole with them. Now, years later, they're burning incense to this pole. Oh, great pole. Now, you hear what I'm talking about now? That this pole was for a point in time where they needed deliverance. And God provided it. He didn't provide it for them to worship the pole. Are you with me now? But it's God that is to be worshipped. See? And he said in the last days, people are going to start worshiping the creature more than the creator. And so here they are in this pole. He had to destroy that thing. Had to break it up. Because they had camped around about it with religion. And religion simply is someone who has formed a moratorium on revelation. In other words, they got a little drop of something one time and then they camped around that. They put the whole denomination was built around that. Everything, we got this, we are the such and such, and we got this revelation. But when they fenced themselves in like that, they couldn't go any further because they think they got it all. And that's why in the scriptures he said, hey, wait a minute. The reason why people don't get this new wine is because they say the old wine is better. I don't want to go any further. I got it all. You don't have nothing. No, Paul says you're going to increase in knowledge. He's got to increase you in knowledge because he's going to have bigger tasks for you to perform. He's going to have greater revelation, greater manifestation, greater miracles for you to see. Does this make sense to you?
Yes.
Now, so religion, a form of God. So one of the biggest things religion lacks is fruit. Now, by the way, let me show you another one because you're the last class here. I call you class right now. Turn to Exodus, please, and Exodus in chapter 32. Exodus chapter 32. Exodus chapter 32. Let me know when you get there. Verse 1. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, up, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as far as this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we don't know what's become of him. And Aaron said unto them, well, break off some golden earrings, which are in the ears of your wives and your sons and your daughters, and come on, bring them to me. And all the people break off golden earrings, which were in the ears, and brought them to Aaron. And he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graven tool after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast of the Lord. And they arose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. Now, God spoke to Moses. The Lord said to Moses, get you down, for thy people which thou brought out of the land of Egypt. I like he put that on Moses. The people that you brought up out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves and turned aside quickly out of the way, so forth and so on. Now, understand what they did. Moses went up there and stayed 40 years. And then they said, hey, I don't know what's happening here. Let's make us a god here. And so what happened is they formed fashioned this golden calf. Now, my point to you is, where did they get the earrings and all of that from? Where did they get it from? They got it from Egypt. That was part of the wealth transfer. But what did they do with the wealth? They started worshiping it. Got it? And if people don't have Babylon out of their system, if you give them that money, they will start worshiping that money. I'm telling you, you won't see them in church no more. You let them, I'm telling you, you let them get, you give them too much too quick, and yet the last, you can adios them, because that's the last you've seen of them. They will worship that car. They will worship that 8-bedroom home. I'm telling you, they can't get to church today because, you know, it's snowing a little bit, honey. I can't get out today. Praise the Lord. All of that. That is pure religion. One of the things about religion also is it takes a form of legalism sometimes. Legalism. It's a controlling thing. Designed to control you. Make you think that you never got it all together. That you can never really make it. That you just got to resolve to stay where you are because you can't make it. I'm all this and you're not that. And I'm just using this as an example now. My point to you is that's what religion does. It keeps trying to point out where you sinned. And it doesn't point to where you can get forgiven. It keeps the sin in front of you. Now, you can tell when those spirits are dealing with you because they won't let you receive. They try to fight you receiving your forgiveness that you have from God. Now, think about it. Every one of us come in this place with a background. Am I right about it? Now, understand, when you come in, get born again, the background is erased. Glory to God. Understand now. Now, you got to receive that. But sanctification means that you might miss it on the way to development. So if you miss it on the way to development, now you got to call on that same Jesus. Come on now, because the blood is still flowing, and that you got to call on him and say, wait a minute, Father, I missed it on this thing. Now, I confess my sin. Now, I'm not talking about trying to give people a reason to sin. That is not, if you're hearing that, you're hearing the wrong thing. My point to you is the law will condemn you. And it wasn't designed to perfect you. It wasn't designed to perfect you. If it was, it would have perfected them. Wasn't designed. He said, unless you exceed the law of the Pharisees, he said, you can't enter the kingdom. My point to you is you got to get the grace of God in your life. You got to be willing to let God cleanse you. You got to be willing to let God be able to work to develop you. Say amen to that. You can't do it yourself. If I take a book and I start holding this book up, I can hold this book up. Praise God. Well, come back to me in about 3 hours. Come on now. This book just got heavy. Well, come back in another hour. My arm is slowly coming down. Why? Because I'm trying to stay straight myself. I'm trying to do it all in my strength. It wasn't designed that you do it all in your strength. The forces of evil are too strong for you to do it in your strength. You need to drop back in the arms of Jesus and say, wait a minute, I need your grace so that I can run this race. Well, praise the Lord. I trust that you enjoy that teaching. Now, that is Living in the Supernatural, Part 1. Powerful teaching. Now, there's three things about this particular teaching today. One is that sanctification. In other words, for you to get the power of God, you're going to have to let go of the thinking of the world. In other words, a person can't serve two masters. You're going to have to let go of dependency on the world and depend on God if you want the power of God. Second, condemnation. Condemnation is like mud in a glass. If you try to shine a light through it,
That mud causes that light to come through real dim. Well, condemnation is the same way, guilt and shame. Get rid of it, because once you get rid of it, that light of God shines right through you and shines bright, and people can see your good works and glorify your Father. Thirdly, increase. Knowledge of God is what brings the increase of God and the supernatural in your life. It's all right to have mathematics and geography and so forth. That's a natural knowledge. But on top of that, you've got to have the knowledge of God. If you don't have the knowledge of God, you can't move into the supernatural. Well, we've got an announcer going to give you some instructions and some things and some good news. We'll be right back. As we go into these last days, the last of the last days, we're going to have to engage in the supernatural. This message is designed to help you grow up, increasing in the knowledge of God. Now, that's where the enemy doesn't want you. But if you don't have the knowledge of God, you don't have knowledge. He's got to increase you in knowledge, because he's going to have bigger tasks for you to perform. He's going to have greater revelation, greater manifestation, greater miracles for you to see. Where am I trying to take you? I'm trying to take you to miracles. Because miracles won't work out of a condemned heart. And what I'm telling you is that enemy had tried to contain miracles, because miracles are proof that the one you serve is alive. Let's get it so that nobody will deny the God that we serve.
Increase in the knowledge of God that carries the power of God. Today, with Pastor Bill Winston's teaching entitled Living in the Supernatural. To order on CD or DVD, simply write to Bill Winston Ministries, P.O. Box 947, Oak Park, Illinois 60303. By bank card at 1-800-711-9327 or online at billwinston.org. This is your season of manifested miracles. Order your copy today of Living in the Supernatural.
Praise the Lord again. That's a three-disc series. It's called Living in the Supernatural. Now, it's a powerful teaching, and I'd like you to really order this, because we're going to be talking about the supernatural. In the last days, you're going to hear more about the supernatural than you've ever had in your life. As a matter of fact, I truly believe that the church is moving into a season of the supernatural. Now, these are the last days. One man said it like this: the problems that we're going to have in the last days are not going to be able to be solved on the same level that they were created. You're going to need another level. We're talking about the supernatural. It's time for the church. Praise God. Well, this is Bill Winston. That's all we have for this time. Until next time, we'll see you. Keep walking by faith.
The mission of Bill Winston Ministries is to take the uncompromised Word of God to the whole world. This broadcast has been made available to you through the faithful support of Bill Winston Ministry partners and friends. We invite you to become a partner and join Dr. Bill Winston as he trains believers how to live independently and have dominion to reign over this world system. Connect with us online at billwinston.org. Thank you, Bill Winston Ministries partners and viewers, for your continuous support of the Believer's Walk of Faith broadcast.